You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
Remain standing. Remain standing and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Remain standing. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start reading in the first verse. Charge up your tablet, charge up your phones. I see y'all getting down there. I don't care what you're doing. Just don't be texting nobody unless you're texting them how great this message is and y'all need to be here. Amen. And say amen when you get there. We're going to bring the text up on screen. If for whatever reason you don't have a tablet, you don't have a phone, you don't have a Bible, God has given us all means of being able to communicate his word to us. Are you ready? All right, ready? Read. But know this. Y'all reading? All right. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, Father, we thank you for your word. You make it plain, you make it real. And today, Father, as we close out this series, we're asking for you to just dot the I and cross the T. And cause us, Father, to be doers of your word and not hearers only. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to just declare this to you. I'm so happy to be back. I hope that y'all miss me, because I did in fact miss you guys. Being away from you guys on a Sunday, while in certain aspects it's very, very relaxing and it's very comfortable, at the same time I felt displaced. That's why I had to call you, because I was watching and I wanted to be there. I got to be with you. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Sorry. Want to be where you are. I missed you guys, and I'm so glad to be back. I'm so glad for Pastor Tracy, who brought an awesome word on last week. Amen. See, y'all pity patting, but just wait. You understand that the word that goes forth from this place, it's all about application. And if you're not willing to applicate, you're going to get your butt. Anyway, praise God. But I'm so glad to be back. And we are finishing up the series, the seven things that you better have on lock, you need to have on lock before all hell breaks loose. And the Lord challenged me today, because the last three, he wanted me to put them all together into one thought. And so the last three of the seven things that we're dealing with today is going to be one, truth, write this down, truth, relationships, and God. And so I began to ask God, well, God, how do you want me to do this? Because you've given me a lot of information about all three. They are all three separate messages within themselves. God, I need your help. And of course, the Lord was like, no problem, dude, I got you. Anybody ever have God just tell you no problem? And then you're sitting there like, okay, no problem, really, God? Anyway, he said, no problem, I got you. And so over the time that I was away, and as Pastor Fred ministered the word, God was bringing this all together into this culmination of this one word that really, really, really condenses the aspect of truth, relationships, and God. This one word, and the word is this, y'all, covenant. Amen. Covenant. Now, I want to talk about some things because throughout the course of the beginning of the year and the things that God has already brought to our attention in regards to offense and the forgiveness and the aspect of recognizing individuals who are in position of authority and the stewardship of life, all of these elements that we have to have on lock before all hell breaks loose, even as it's already begun to happen in certain areas of our lives. If we don't have this concept of covenant with God down packed, none of the other stuff is going to work. None of the other elements of the seven things that we have to have unlocked, it's not going to work because we are missing the understanding of how God makes all of it work together. And that is by, say it with me, covenant. The purpose of this revelation and any revelation that comes from God is not to substantiate your illusions about how God works, but to eliminate them. So however you figure you have a relationship with God and how God is good with what it is that you're doing and how you're doing it and how you and God have this thing and he understands that, you know, you are, a work in progress and, you know, I'm under construction and all of the things that we can come up as an excuse. It's all an illusion if we don't understand that how God operates and how it's going to get done. How am I going to really deal with people who offend me? How am I really going to forgive them and then be a minister of reconciliation? How am I going to really be able to submit to the authority that God has set up in the church? How am I going to be a stewardship of this life in every area of my, how am I going to do that? And God says, by covenant relationship with me. Now, I didn't just say relationship. I didn't just say knowledge of me. I say covenant. It's one of those things, those dynamics that when we come into the church circle, we hear that word, but we don't really understand what God means by it. And so we play at it. We play at it. Because I know who God is and because I go to church and because I pray and because I'm doing due diligence to, you know, have my kids in church or whatever. Me and God, we have agreement. But what you have with God insofar as covenant is more than just an agreement. Y'all good? Are y'all okay? We have to have these things unlocked because if we are believers and we are called to demonstrate kingdom life walking by faith with a committed life that glorifies God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by his Holy Spirit, then by golly, we better act like it. Yes, I did say by golly. But then I came to a realization that with what I see with us, I can't speak on everybody. I know that as far as the kingdom of God and so many different things that are going on in Christianity, there's a lot of work to be done. But I can only address the ones that God has given me. I found that we know it's covenant. Y'all come on with this mic. I found that it is covenant, and I can tell you that, but I realize we can't do it. Through this process of everything that's been laid out to us thus far, I know that many of us have begun to walk in some of the truth that God has laid out for us in regards to making relationships with the ones that we've been having contention with right, forgiving people, trying to be that minister of reconciliation, trying to put myself in a position of something, trying to do all of these things, and yet at the same time, I'm still struggling. I'm still struggling. There are some things that are going on in my household, Pastor, that you don't know that, I mean, all hell has begun to break loose, and I have been fighting. I have been, anybody with me? Anybody? Pastor, I've been doing my best to hold my peace. I've been doing my best not to kill everybody in this place. And I've come to the house of God because, God, I need the Lord to give me something that I not only can hold on to, but that I can do real battle with. And I'm telling you, what you have, you've always had it, but it's time to wake it up. Wake it up now. For too long, we have been putting into practice. Let me tell you a little bit about the background of the scripture that we were reading. Paul is in prison for the second time. Rome has imprisoned him. The king has got him in a position, in a place where, for Paul, he is recognizing that this is it. I'm not getting out this time. And so he begins to write to the various individuals who he has mentored and who he has watched, Timothy being one. And so he's writing to Timothy this letter, not as we are taking in all of these particular instructions on what to do and how to work your church, whatever. But he's writing to him because he recognizes that in the atmosphere where Timothy is, everybody is doing their own thing. All of these teachings, all of these ways and manners in which people are living, and even as far as those that are Christians, they're coming up with new ways that God wants them to do. And it's false teaching. It's carnal. That these individuals, although they have confessed Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, that they are beginning to do things that don't look like God. Their actions, their behaviors, even though they have stepped into the realm and they have made the confession, that there is no display of power. So they're going through the motions, and in their heart of hearts, they're thinking they're okay, but the teachings that's going forth and the things that are being said and the display of things that are going on don't look nothing like God. So people, those teachers, they begin to emulate and imitate and counterfeit God. And their teaching and their position and their personality becomes more of the draw than the power of God itself. So Paul begins to instruct him because he knows my time with you is going to be limited, little brother, and you're going to have to hold it down. You're going to have to stick with what it is that I taught you, sound doctrine. You're going to have to recognize these things that are going on around you. And he's telling him this because Timothy is getting discouraged. Anybody ever been there? Timothy is falling back a little bit from the assignment that he's been given, because everywhere he turns and everywhere he looks, everybody's wilding out, just doing their own thing. And it just seems like it's just easier to do what they're doing. I mean, they love God, I love God. It's easier just to chill and kick back, like Martin was showing us. And, hey, I'll get to it later. It's easier to do that. It's easier not to read. I mean, I know that person. They're not reading. It's just easier. Paul, you're requiring me so much, and it's just easier just to kick back. And Paul says, no. No. We're in the last days, little brother, and it's time for you to recognize what's really going on with these people who claim that they know who Jesus is. These people who claim that they know who Jesus is. In fact, what they're displaying in their lives is not really what the power of God is all about. They'll be lovers of themselves. I know I should be in church, but I'm tired. See, some of y'all gonna get mad today, but that's all right. I'm still a good looking guy who loves you. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money. We think this is just about hoarding, but the aspect of the love of money is the what? Root of all. Boasters and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And that's not just talking about young people. Everybody just go, ooh. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Brutal. We ain't not just talking about physical brutality. We were talking about that mental abuse that some of y'all been doing to your wives and your husbands. Do this. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what they say. You're doing too much. Back away slowly. Brutal. Despisers of good. You're trying to do the right thing, but the very people, and I'm not talking about unbelievers. He's not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about church folk, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. I realize that we can't do the covenant thing until we not only understand what it is, but we understand what we've been doing. A well-known actor, I can say his name. I was not going to say his name, but I'm going to say it. Will Smith, back in the day, he did this movie called 6 Degrees of Separation. And he was asked about the role he had done in regards to that, and it seemed to suggest he was not only supportive of the lifestyle, the gay lifestyle that he depicted in the movie. The individuals who were interviewing him, it seemed to suggest that, hey, he was gay. Just how well he had acted. The actor's response was, I guess that I'm that great at what I do that you think my actual life outside of that movie gives you that impression. I was only acting. Now, the reverse psychology is, although you go to church and you put on the nice clothes and you hear Sunday in and Sunday out because mama's making you or whatever the case, I don't know, all of the reasons why we say, many, many people in the house of God, people have the impression that you are a Christian, But your testimony in terms of the display of power in your life, you're acting. I'm acting. To be saved or not to be, that is the question. And many of us have become good at the act, and God says, you have a form, but you don't have function. I have a form, but I don't have function. I was challenged this weekend. I'm telling you where this is coming from. God is not playing. To me, he said, I was sitting underneath the word of a pastor, and he challenged the pastors that were there to say this. God has given us two distinct things in regards to what his church looks like. One, and what it does, and one, and two, what we're supposed to do as a church with other people who don't know God. So I'm going to deal with the second one. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What? It. My church. The gates of hell shall not. You can translate it, will not, cannot prevail against the church that he's establishing. Well, what does that church look like? He tells his disciples, the young people today, we learned this in Matthew 18, that he says that all power, all authority has been given to me, and now I'm giving you this authority, and now you go into all the world and you preach the gospel. The preaching is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about live your life like you know I saved you, and what happens is make disciples. Make disciples. And as they are being discipled, students of the person who taught them, who's teaching us? Jesus. That we then become his church, and when we move and move forward and mobilize, and when we step into a place or we step out of a place, if hell is there, hell gotta go. Are y'all not hearing what I'm saying to you? Because many of us, we have this form, but we ain't been operating in the function. And even when we hear the issue of discipling, we turn it into this churchy thing, when all God is saying that this new life that I've given you, it's a life of power. It's people who don't know who I am, they're going to know who I am because of the power that's displayed in you. You can't, the light can't help but be light. As soon as you turn the power on, darkness flees. Darkness doesn't even flee. It's got to go. It doesn't have a choice. So if God lives in you, why are you struggling with the things that you're struggling with? Why are you battling with the things that you're battling with? Why are you doing? Because what? Let me tell you why. Wait a minute. Let me give some bass in my voice. Let me tell you why. Because we don't understand the covenant that we have with God. First part of the covenant is truth. And we have allowed truth to become subjective. If I like it, I'll do it. When it becomes uncomfortable for me, I got to think about it. When it becomes uncomfortable for me to love my wife as Christ loved the church and sacrificed himself for it, because there's some things I'm not willing to sacrifice. Baby, look, it's football season. Don't you understand that? And she's like, well, baby, you used to play football. You used to be good at it. And those guys are not paying you any money for watching them. Come to church with me. Baby, you know I love God. Okay, I'm going to get off of that. Point I'm making is other things become our truth when it's convenient. But when it's convenient, it becomes a form. And we stop functioning. When it becomes convenient to be depressed. When God has empowered you to overcome. You are more than a conqueror. His word. Now, mind you, if you don't know that truth, you're not going to be able to operate in that truth. How do I operate in it, Pastor? By faith. See, we've lost touch with the power that's in us to speak what God has said about a thing. And even if I don't see it, I had to work this morning. Even if I don't see it, it is so because God said so. God said so. Either God is a liar and he's crazy, or it's going to happen because he's God and we just sing it. He's right. God, you're right. I'm more than a conqueror. You ain't got nothing. It don't matter. I'm more than a conqueror in this matter. God, you've given me love. What? Come on, y'all. Love. And so as if you're struggling with this issue of depression, I'm not knocking the fact that you're going to struggle, but if you know the word and that every stripe that he bore in his body is because he cared for you, and then you cast that care of depression on him, he says, now in return for that casting, I'm going to give you the power to walk as a light in that dark place. Now, you either believe it or you don't. When we say we believe it, but we're not functioning it, we have a form. See, we look at the scripture and we place it on people who ain't reading the word and who ain't praying. But I'm here to tell you that people in church ain't reading the word and they're not praying as they should, and they're not walking. They're not doing the things in the covenant understanding. Hello. I'm not saying we ain't reading, and I'm not saying we ain't praying. Some of us are doing it, but we're in the slants of truth. It's got to be comfortable for me to be able to do it, Pastor. It's got to fit into this realm of who I am and how I get down. Because, Pastor, you know, I got all these things going on. And I'm saying to you, you got all these things going on, and you have the power to deal with every single one of them if you choose to. I said, if you choose to, Brother Shannon. And because we don't have an understanding of the covenant relationship that we have with God, we're choosing the wrong thing. We love God. We there's no question that I confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, but that Lord part is a daily operation. And each time I'm confronted with something that tells me it has power over me, I have to remind myself who I am and whose I am. You got to do it. You've got to. How do you do that? Well, you got to fill yourself with one truth. And if that truth, it doesn't substantiate your illusion, get rid of the illusion. Because it's not there to substantiate what you think God should do. It's not there to do that. Truth is going to be truth. And you and I, we subject ourselves into the submission of God, because God, say this with me, y'all, God is right. Okay, that was about 7 or 8 of y'all. Say this with me. Say it with me now. God is right. I didn't say all the time. It don't matter. See, time, that's subject. God is outside of time. God is right. In time or out of time, God is right. Whether you see him doing or not doing, he's right. Why? Because he is. He told Moses, I am that I am. Tell him when you as he's asking who sent me, the I am. I am what? Everything that is needed for whatever's needed when it's needed. And somehow we've lost connection with that. And we've lost so because of covenant. So I want to give us some tools. Is that all right? I'm going to give us some tools so that we don't lose our function. And so when people see our form, the form and the function is going together. I need us to understand some things, that we possess this power. The scripture says that you're having a form of godliness, but denying its power. That aspect, the word form, is that we have this shape. We have this image. Y'all know Genesis 1:26. We were created in the image and the likeness of Elohim. And then that was spirit. So you are a spirit. And when you said yes to Jesus, your spirit was now infused and it was empowered with the Holy Spirit, God. And God said, now function like Jesus functioned as man and divine at the same time. He created them in his image and his likeness, male and female. He created them. Then he formed the man. He gave him a body. And then he breathed that divine nature into that man. And then he said, function. Let me tell you something. What God says doesn't change. Just because Adam and Eve sinned didn't mean that function changed. My God. Too much? That word, he said, having a form of godliness, which we possess if we say yes to you, but denying. That word denying in the Greek, what it means is that you know you should, but you refuse. I have the power. I ain't doing that. I have the power. Something in me tells me, listen to me, something in me when I'm going through tells me this is not right. I'm not supposed to be like this. I'm not supposed to feel this way. This is not right. But when you don't have God's word and truth in regards to who you are, what you're doing is you're refusing God. God, I don't want you to intervene. You're in me. And you're making the Spirit of God is confirming what little words you might know, which says this ain't right. And he says, you there's something that will help you to get right. And you're saying, I don't want it that way. I want it the way I want it. And that, look, man, real talk. We've done it every day. And we've prayed to God to help change. And God, we felt, has set back. But God has not set back. He's continued to show himself mighty on our behalf in each day he's given us to recognize what that uncomfortable, it's not right feeling that you have. I'm telling you, in you is me, and I'm saying there's a way to get it right. How, Lord, how? What does my word say? Well, I know what your word says about, so now where's the power? Because I don't move by your feelings and your emotions. Don't you hate that? I hate that. God, I'm hurting right now. So? Now listen to me. Don't get it twisted. God has compassion on us. He's not that bad. That's a Pastor Rich thing. Sometimes I feel like God is like, you know what to do, go and do it. That's kind of my mama. Mama, thank you. But really, God is compassionate. But he's serious about his covenant because he does not operate in relationship with us outside of what he has agreed to do on our behalf. Jesus said to his disciples, and if you and I are his disciples, all authority is given to me, but I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. I've given you the authority that if you take any poisonous thing, it won't harm you. I've given you that power. That's the agreement that we have in this new covenant. Are you willing to work it? No, Jesus, I want you to do what you do. I want you to step in. I want you to intervene. And the Lord is like, I'm not going to do more, no more than what I have agreed to do with you. Now do what you have agreed to do with me. Well, what is that, Lord? Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. Man, okay, y'all playing with me. Y'all, anybody out there? Because she's right, it's hot up here now. That means I'm really preaching really good. A little bit. Resist the devil. Well, how do I do that? Because how do you do it? You are presented with an option that is contrary to what I've told you. Choose. But it don't look like it's going to change. It don't matter what it looks like. Choose. But it don't look like he's ever going to make up his mind to do right. It doesn't matter. What have you and I agreed upon in regards to him? Choose. Well, he's going to be mad if I do it. She's going to react. It doesn't matter what they are going to do. It's what I'm going to do. What do you believe? Choose. Well, I'll be alone. I'll be the only one to represent. That's fine. That, I like you. I like to get you alone. Because when you're alone and when everybody thinks that you are down and you are out and you are defeated, that's when I show up and show out on your behalf so that none of those people around you can say to you, I had a hand, I helped them out and do it. No, no, no. Let them leave. Let them move away from you. Let them leave you by yourself. Because there are more with you than they are there with them. No, but see, you... Two or three of y'all clapping because y'all know what I'm talking about. You've experienced that. But see, some of us don't know just yet. But you're dealing with a situation where all hell is trying to break loose. And what the enemy wants to convince you is that the situation, the circumstance, the lack, the pain, the depression, the battle that you've been going through years after years after year, you're powerless to deal with it. And I just want you to, I want the enemy, I want you to just stay begging God to do something that the enemy knows that he is not in agreement with you to do. Did y'all catch that? You have to understand, the enemy is a tool of God. The Lord allows him to do what he does to strengthen us. But he's not going to make us do anything. He's going to ask and require of us, do you know what the agreement is between you and I? And if you know, the enemy, when you resist, he's got to go, because he can't stay where light is. He can't stay there. The circumstance can't stay when you show up with God's word and his truth, and you don't subject it to your reality, but you subject that situation to God's reality. Everything that is in the presence of God that is not of God will either be consumed or it's got to go. Yeah. You got to believe that. You've got to believe that, y'all. If God is real in you, when you are in a situation, circumstance that is not of him, it's consumed or it leaves. Okay. Titus 1:16. Ladies, can y'all bring that up on screen real quick? I'm going to move quickly. Titus 1:16. Yes, okay. There it is. They profess to know God, but in works, they deny him, being abominable. Not snowman, but just abominable. Disobedient. Whew. And disqualified for how much good work? Disqualified. Now, I need y'all to understand, when he's talking about the good work that he's dealing with, but in works, they deny him. Those entities of works in the original Hebrew, it means life. How you're living your life as a believer. You're disqualified from representing the kingdom in power. Why? Because you profess to know, but you deny. Again, that word deny there says, I'm refusing what God says to do about this situation, and I'm going to work it, what, my life. I'm going to do life like this, and God will understand. I'm going to do life like this, and he's going to have mercy on my disobedience. And God says, no, I'm going to disqualify you. So although I love you, we talk about God loves you, and when things don't happen, then all of a sudden somehow he doesn't love you. No, I still love you, but you're disqualified from any power because you're disobedient to the truth of the matter. And what is that? That there is a word for you. There's a word for that circumstance and that situation. And when you turn the light switch on, the power on, it will leave you. I made a promise to you. I made an agreement with you. Choose. Next scripture, 2 Thessalonians, lady, quickly. Finally, brethren, yes, Lord, pray for us that the word of God, the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Second verse. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men for not all have faith. Talking about people who know God. Pray for us. So there's some situations and circumstances when it comes to people where you need to ask the Lord, and you're asking people who believe and are taking the steps like you to pray for one another, because we are surrounded by people who are just not operating in faith, and their conversation is negative. It's negative in the sense of, well, I don't know how you're going to do it. Or well, I guess you're going to have to leave him. Well, I guess you're going to have to, all of the things that can be said in the natural, because that's the only aspect of power that they have access to. You ain't got time to be listening to that. I don't have time to be listening to people tell me what I already know in the natural. And why am I so uncomfortable? Because there's a spirit of God in me that's telling me there's more. There's more that you can do here. You just haven't tapped into. There's more. You're frustrated. And I don't know what to do. And the spirit of God in you say, yes, you do. Yes, you do know what to do. Yes, you do know what to do. I just need you to turn on the light switch and begin to confess. And I need you to begin to speak. And then I need you to begin to walk in what it is that you know we've agreed upon. Away slowly. There's a new word that I learned this weekend. Reticent. R-E-T-I-C-E-N-T. Reticent. We have become reticent. What does that mean, Pastor? It means silent. Uncommunicative. Unwilling to stand up and speak or display. Reluctant. And why? We didn't understand the issue of our covenant, but more importantly, we've been operating in fear. Many of us with a little bit of life experience in this walk of faith, there have been times where we've asked God to do some things. We've asked God to intervene. We've asked God to just move on our behalf. And we've asked God to do things that we felt was legitimate requests of him, and he absolutely did not. And on more than one occasion, when he did not, what it did to us, it caused us to do this thing that we're known for doing as human beings, that is doubt. Are y'all with me? It caused us to doubt. It caused us to wonder if this God thing is real. In the very midst of our own households, I'm a testimony, in the midst of your very own household, when you are doing right, when you're doing your best, and when you're doing what God says do, all hell is breaking loose, and you look and you say, God, but I prayed, God, but I've been applying this word, and Lord, I'm not only that, but I'm to the best of what I know, I've been walking in this thing. How could this happen in my house? How could Lord, how could you be missed when you've given me instruction and I've followed the instruction? I did what you said to do. Anybody out there, or I'm just talking right now. How can this happen, God? How can this be? And a blow like that knocks us on our butts, and we're sitting back, and we get to a place where I don't want to pray. Because I prayed, Lord, nothing's happened here. In fact, the situation has gotten worse. It's gotten worse. It's looked worse. And there's no answer. There's no horizon. I hear the people talking about, oh, it's dark. It's midnight. I'm in the valley. Oh, but joy comes in the morning. And I woke up in the morning. In the morning, my car is wrecked. Because someone in my household has done worse than what they did the night before. Joy in the morning, it's just me, right? Joy comes in and I come to church and y'all singing these songs and y'all clap, come on, sing with me. And I'm trying, I am not trying to sing that song. What song? I am a friend of God. I am a friend. I am not God's friend right now. But more importantly, I don't feel like God is my friend. He calls me friend. This is how he treats his friend. Am I talking to somebody in here? And so you begin to doubt. And rightfully so, because your expectations have been dashed. And you sat there saying, crying out to God, to where you ain't got no more tears. You don't got no more strength. You don't have anything more that you can do. God says, wait, there's more to the contract. There's more to the contract. And you want me to hand it to you, but this is a relationship. It's the second part. We talk about the first part, truth. Now the second part is relationship. You understand in this covenant relationship, the reality of you and me is that I do some talking, you do some talking. I'm right. You might not be right. And so you have to get with me about what I said, because I'm right. God, but this is a terrible feeling I'm feeling. I understand that. I understand how you feel. I have compassion on you. I love you, and I have compassion on you. But what have I been saying to you now about that? I don't know. I know. This is a relationship. Go find out what I've been saying about that. And what we do is we retreat because we don't understand covenant, that I have a right. The scripture says to go boldly before the throne. Now I gotta come. I'm coming into the presence of God to obtain grace. What is unmerited favor, God? I don't know what else to do. Just I need your help. And what we do is we don't go to God, we run from Him. Why? Fear. What do you mean, fear, Pastor? Well, let me tell you something a little bit about this behavior. It comes from Daddy Adam. Adam, when he sinned against God, you remember the scripture says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, what he says is that when God came, watch this, he came in the cool of the day, walking in the garden. I want y'all to, if y'all look at the scripture, underline, highlight the word walking, because we're going to go back to that in a minute. He comes walking in the garden, and usually wherever Adam was supposed to be, he wasn't there. Hello. Y'all didn't catch that. It wasn't just about his physical position. There was a spiritual dynamic to that. Where Adam was supposed to be, when God showed up, when his presence showed up, he wasn't there. I'm going to say that again. His position as a man of God, Eve, as a woman of God, where they were supposed to be in function. They were there in form, but in function, they weren't there. When the presence of God showed up walking and they would walk together, that was the habit, to walk together, Adam wasn't where he was supposed to be. Scripture says that they hid themselves from his presence. Why? Because they had sin. Now let's not get all to it. We know what they did, but in definition, sin means missing the mark. There was something that instruction that God had given that they should have done, but they didn't do. So when you are doing something contrary to God's instruction, either you don't have the instruction or you know the instruction, and you gotta hide now. Why? Because the presence of the living God resides in you. And there are times where the Lord will manifest himself in grace to you, and you don't want to really be there when he shows up. Why? Because God wants to walk with you. God, I don't want to walk through this. No, we got to walk. Because I have to deal with where you missed the mark. I'm not just going to beat you over the head with the fact that you should have did this, you should have did, because you probably already know what I said. You probably already know what I want. But there's something in you, some truth that you've aligned yourself with contrary to my truth. And now I want to bring you back to the truth. And we're going to walk together. Amos 3:3. How can two walk together unless they what? Agree. Now, if you read that whole scripture in its context of the prophecy that's going forth, God is speaking to the children of Israel because they are in disobedience. And God is saying, I'm God. I can make things happen. Do I make noise just for the sake of making noise? Oh, my God, Lord. Am I God just so that you can say you know me? Or am I God that can make things happen that nothing else in your life can make happen? Can I do it or can I not? And if I can, then if you're in agreement with me, let's walk. Because there's some things that got to change in you. There's some truths that you've gathered that you said is true. It's not really true. It's not really true about me. It's not really true about you. And I want to introduce you to you. And in my presence, there's fullness of joy. And in my presence, there's a power that things around you that don't matter anymore. Don't get super spiritual with me, y'all. Just come on. Because the little step that God has asked you to take, you're reluctant to do it, reticent of the step, because God says, I don't want you to just step, I want you to walk. Right? How many of y'all had little babies? Isn't it exciting when they take that first step? Right? It's a wonderful thing, and then they stumble, and what do? We pick them up. Why? Because we don't want them to just take the one step. Come on, y'all. We don't want them to, oh, that's cute. But you're not going to go through life just taking one step and plopping down. Little kid, you need to walk. Why? Because I need them to walk to the bathroom. Saturday morning, you need to walk to the kitchen and get your own cereal. I need you to walk outside because the lawn needs to be cut. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I need you to walk because there's a greater thing. There are greater things that I want you to do in your ability to walk. Man, I'm preaching better than you're shouting, but that's okay. I want you to walk, but I want you to understand that there are greater things that you're going to accomplish when you walk with me. When you walk with me. Just going back to the analogy of a little kid. Once they learn how to walk, then we're praying, God, oh God, please stop them, stop them, stop. Deal with our truth. It's not ours, it's his. Deal with our relationships. All relationships, I said this at the beginning of our series, all relationships and the dynamics of the relationships stem from our relationship with God. And so whatever kind of relationship that we have with God, and if it's not in covenant where God's saying, my presence shows up, you're running to walk with me, you're looking to be where I am because you understand that I will correct what needs to be corrected, I will empower you, I will enhance what it is that you're doing, I will do the things that you can't do, and while all that's going on, I'll be glorified, men's lives will be changed, and we will move forward in what it is that you are called to do, and that is to have dominion because my original instruction has not changed. Hasn't changed. I'm not concerned with the circumstance. Circumstances change. And they'll change for the better or the worse based upon what are you applying in our covenant relationship. I know you got your own mind. I know you got your own way of thinking. I know you got to. That's the challenge that we have in this relationship. But because I'm right, I'm not moving. This is the last part of the seven things. God. God is immutable. I-M-M-U-able. U-T, U-M-T, whatever. Y'all know. You'll find it. What does that mean? It means that God cannot change. That doesn't, you know, he cannot. If he changed, altered for your circumstances, your situation, he would cease being God. And while he loves you and I so much, he don't love you and I that much. Okay, that's Pastor Rich being funny. God is not going to change his agreement so that you're comfortable. Or to get you over. He's not going to change it. But you get to change, and I get to change. You get to transform. Remember I said it's not just form, it's function, right? But when you operate, when you're beginning to function, what happens is your form changes. How do you know this? Because God's agreement in the word is that as I sacrifice, become a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable, that if I don't follow the pattern of this world, but be renewed by what? I renew my mind by God's word. I change form. I transform. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by his word. And all that's happening is that God is hollering, I'm right about this. And you get yourself in a position where you're saying, you're right, God. I'm right. So I'm going to go with the guy who's right. That means I've changed my form. I've changed how I operate in this thing now because now I'm doing it the right way. Y'all with me? God doesn't change, will not change, and it's not because he's being hard-headed or adamant or he doesn't care. It's because he's God. I want to worship a God who doesn't change. I want to worship a God who's consistent, who is never altering anything that he does, not just his love, but his authority, his power. I don't want him to change anything, because if he does, he ceases to be God, and I'm able to manipulate him, and if I'm able to manipulate him, then he's not God. I am. But that's the kind of God that many times we present in the church, the ever-changing, always morphing, moved by my emotion, God. And if you pray to that God hard enough and loud enough, if you fall out enough times, he will answer you the way that he answers, which is no answer, because that's not a real God. And you are a form of godliness that people are looking and saying, oh man, he and she, they're so spiritual. Look at them dance and look at them jump and look at them speak those weird words and look at, wow, that lady hit the ground hard and she didn't bleed. And so to be clear, those actions, it's not for you and I to call judging them whether or not it's real or not. It's about what you and I are doing. Because some of that jumping and some of that speaking and some of that is real. Because they are worshiping a real God. They have real covenant relationship. They understand his truth. And sometimes the shout is because they realize God is right. I was wrong. Hallelujah, I was wrong. Thank you, God. I was so wrong. And you showed me. And I'm thankful. I'm repentant, but I'm thankful. Because if I'd have stayed in that mindset, man, I'd have killed everybody and everything and everything that you had for me and my family. It would have been destroyed if I had stayed that way. But thank you, Lord. If I'm the only one right now that's represented, I'm going to make sure that I'm in line with your covenant truth. I'm in solid relationship with you where you're instructing and I'm receiving and I'm walking. I want to just give this to you and I'm going to quit. I'm going to give this to you and I'm going to quit. Because God's word confirms his word. Amen. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. There is no kingdom life without agreement, without covenant. And God, through his word, he tells us he wants to walk with us. At the very beginning, that was. But he also tells us to walk in the spirit. So we won't gratify what? The lust of our walk in the spirit. That walking again is a process. He tells us also to what? Walk by faith. And not by. But understand again that walking is the process. Process by what? By the truth that he presents to us so that the relationship that we have with him is a healthy relationship. Because at the end of the day, what you and I are to profess and to say and to display and to make him look good and all of the is that there is a real God in operation in real people who really love him and who really have power to display the signs and the wonders that we hear about in the scriptures that we read. Now I don't want to be in his presence because I'm in sin. And I don't want to be in his presence. I'm hiding myself because I'm missing the mark and I know that I'm not spending time in the truth. And so I've come up with my own truth and I want him to understand. I want him to understand, oh God, this is hard. God, this is difficult. God, but you know my heart, God. You know my heart. And the Lord says to us, I know your heart. I live there. And I'm trying to clean up because it's a mess. I know your heart because I live there. And the last time I checked, you were the servant. The Christian lifestyle has not been tried and found wanting. The lifestyle has been found difficult and left untried. As Ricky Ricardo used to say to his wife, Lucy, Lucy, you got some splaining to do. All of those that don't know I Love Lucy, don't worry about it. Coming in for a landing, and the landing is this, as we're closing out this series. It's time out for no more power on display by the sons and daughters of God. It's time out for the forms of godliness that have manifested in this place. It's time out for the excuses that we've made to stay missing the mark. I can use the word sin, y'all know what that, but we're missing the mark because we want our truth. We want God to be subject to our truth where we are now. And God said, that's not what we agreed upon. In the relationship that we have is a master and slave relationship. It is a father and son or father and daughter relationship. It is a relationship where I love you so much and I've empowered you so much and I've given you so much. And you're going to do it, and I'm going to walk with you, but you're going to do it, and you're going to do it my way, and you're going to like it. Now, that sounds harsh, but when you actually start doing it God's way, you kind of like it. This is pretty cool to be able to not fear. This is pretty cool to walk and not worry. This is pretty cool to know that even in the midst of what seems to be lack, that he will supply. And that what he's doing is he's allowing me to grow stronger in my relationship with him. And that at the end of the day, I will declare that God is God all by himself in my life. And I don't have to be religious about it, but I can keep it real. And I can look you in your eye and tell you why I love Jesus so much. Because he is real. My brother, sister, you're not healed. You're not. I am healed. You and I, we just don't see it yet. But that's okay. God has already established it. So I'm good. Well, your marriage is just haywire right now. Well, yeah, in the natural, it's haywire. But in the spirit, where I'm going to operate in, because I get to operate in both places. And I'm not going to stay here anymore because here is uncomfortable. I'm going to transfer myself over to the other place where the presence of God is. And all that stuff can't be here. I'm going to hang out here and I'm going to walk with God until he gives me the instructions to transfer back over here. And when you see me, but you don't see me. You see me, but you know me, but you don't know me. You may not even like me because what I say is not the things that you're used to me saying when I used things based upon what I was told. And I'm going to keep saying it until what I saw over here shows up over here. And I like it. I like it. I like to be able to, it's like a dance. Where you at this time? Where you at? It all depends. If he's calling me, I'm over here. And I linger. And I come back over here. Yes, y'all. Yeah. Then I go back. You see me, but you don't see me. And you know me, but you don't know me because I'm continually transforming into the image and the likeness of who God is here on planet Earth. So you and I have a choice to make. The first choice is that the first decision that we have to make in choice is to repent. So if we're going to operate in truth, we're going to have to operate not in the subjective truth as to, well, I didn't really do anything wrong. Well, God, you understand that, you know, the reason why I cussed them out was because. But in God's truth, to say what you're supposed to look like, what you're supposed to sound like, what you're supposed to display is the fruit of the Spirit. And if for whatever reason you've missed the mark there, that's fine. We can. I have something in my agreement with you that deals with that. It says this: if we confess our sin. It's not a scripture that's written to the unbeliever. That's a scripture written to those of us who know who God is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All matters that don't line up with what he's lined up for us to walk in. We have to confess. And that word confession basically means, God, I was wrong and you were right. We make this too hard, y'all. We make this too difficult. We make this too complex. God knows we not that smart. I'm just saying. I'm saying in the fullness of our situations and circumstances, it's not that difficult. What he's looking for is he's not looking for you to over-educate and over-situate. I'm simply asking you to be honest. God, I've missed it in this area. I've pointed fingers, I've blamed, I've cussed, I've did this, I've did that. All these actions, as a child of God who knows you, I've missed it. And I've lacked power in areas of my life that I needed power. And the reason was because I didn't understand the agreement that you and I are supposed to have. I'm supposed to make you look good. I get it now.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215. Or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.